From South Dakota Public Broadcasting, this is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks in Pierre. Today in the state's capital, legislation drafted to help school lunches. The Department of Corrections reports to the Joint Appropriations Committee and a resolution that would ban eminent domain for economic development purposes. It's Friday, January 23rd. Here are today's stories. Grassroots conservatives are asking voters if they want to ban eminent domain for economic development or increase tax revenue purposes. If passed by the legislature, voters could amend the Constitution to do just that during the general election in November. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and property. That's what Amanda Radke, a landowner's rights activist, described House Joint Resolution 5001 to a House committee. She spoke with SDPB after the resolution's hearing in the House State Affairs Committee.
House Joint Resolution 5001 is going to give the people of South Dakota the say on should we allow eminent domain for private gain or not in the state of South Dakota. We're not really trying to change the Constitution. What we're trying to do is fortify what's already in the Constitution of what does property rights mean and what is the appropriate use of eminent domain. And so we heard some concerns today from things like utilities, which never really have to use eminent domain in the first place. Those are part of the fabric of our community and the fabric of South Dakota.
She spoke to concerns raised by some lobbyists representing gas, electricity, water, and other utility companies that provide services but are non-government entities. Such concerns raised questions on if the proposed amendment's language would inhibit their abilities to use eminent domain for the public services they provide. The resolution would create a constitutional amendment to ban the use of eminent domain to a non-government entity for economic development or increased tax revenue purposes. Representative Tim Reich was a no vote on the bill. He says one reason is he thinks a bill, rather than a joint resolution, is the way he'd like to see this handled.
Well, I get it that eminent domain stems from a constitutional provision, but I think there's ways to try to still, if the sponsor of this bill, if they're more concerned about property rights, there's ways to do things in the statute that can be fixed every year rather than enshrining it in our Constitution. I think this is just the wrong way to do it.
He also worries what message the amendment could send to the business community.
South Dakota needs to be more welcome to business, and I'm really concerned of the direction we're going.
HJR 5001 advances to the House floor after a 10-3 vote in committee. We have more on the political implications of that bill coming up later on the podcast. A bill to ease the burden on business owners who own multiple limited liability companies and limited liability partnerships advances out of a House committee. House Bill 1102 reschedules the annual report filing date for LLCs and LLPs. Currently, business owners must file annual reports to the Secretary of State's office every year on the anniversary of when the LLC filing date began. So, if you had 10 LLCs, you could have 10 different anniversary dates to file necessary documents. The bill would change that to from December 1st to January 31st, a two-month period. The bill would go into effect starting January 1st, 2027. Representative Heather Baxter is the bill's prime sponsor. She calls it an efficiency bill that strengthens South Dakota's business-friendly climate. It advances to the House floor after a unanimous vote in the House State Affairs Committee. A new bill, supported by leadership in both state houses and Governor Larry Rodin, would make disrupting a house of worship with threats of violence a felony-level offense.
Just last week, religious freedom came under assault just a few hundred miles from here in the Twin Cities. That should trouble every single American, and it certainly troubled me.
A priest in attendance says he supports the use of the bill for all houses of worship across the state, regardless of the faith practiced. However, the proposal has significant question marks attached, one key one being the definition of disrupt. Rodin and Lieutenant Governor Tony Van Huysen call it common sense.
And that would also be prosecutorial discretion. We don't have prosecutors in South Dakota who are looking to overcharge some kid for something that's clearly not within the meaning of the law. I mean, that would be how that would be handled.
The decision to interpret this law, if passed, would fall solely into the hands of the state's prosecutors. A Democratic proposal gaining traction in the State House would expand free school lunches to needy families in the state. It's brought by Sioux Falls Democratic Representative Kaden Whitman with an estimated cost to state of $600,000. It's the fourth year she's brought the bill. It was listed as a priority by party leadership at a press conference in the Capitol. House Minority Leader Aaron Healey says supporters have made serious inroads.
We feel more confident. It has more Republican support than it ever has, and we have more Republicans signed on to that bill than we ever have.
The reality of a Republican supermajority means that bipartisan support will be crucial for getting the bill over the finish line. Healy says the bill is both pro-family and pro-education.
I believe that people are starting to see when school districts are supporting this legislation that it actually is a huge need, because school districts are seeing that kids are going hungry and then kids can't learn in school.
HB 1082 will be heard in the House Education Committee. South Dakota's new head of corrections tells appropriators they're setting new goals for the department. At the Department of Corrections hearing with the Joint Appropriations Committee, new Secretary Nick Lamb told appropriators the department is creating three WIGs, or wildly important goals. He outlined them, saying the department's goal is to reduce recidivism, or the rate at which an offender returns to prison in 3 years, by 5%. To be successful, that number would need to be 45% for adults and 27% for juveniles. Lamb says he thinks the department should see those numbers come down.
The one thing about the recidivism rate, you're going to see a substantial decrease. Like right now, it's kind of high, or it's very high, but a lot of that has to do with the abscummers, if I'm saying that right. Like I said, my accent probably throws everybody off, sorry. Yeah, there's a 3-year lag on the recidivism rate, and a lot of different programming was started in 2024. So over probably in the year 2026 through 2028, you're going to see, especially with the new female facility starting, you will see a substantial drop in the recidivism rate with these changes.
Lamb also says as the recidivism cohorts get farther from the COVID-19 pandemic, they'll naturally begin to see a downward trend. The second goal is to reduce staff turnover by 15% to 21%. Lamb told the committee he has ideas for that one already.
Corrections is not a job for everybody. It really isn't. And so we're trying to figure out a way to maybe like a training video, or one thing we did do in Iowa, but we've given them tours of the prison before they actually start and go through the academy and all that. Actually let them see what the job is before they actually start, honestly. But yeah, most of them, they don't really realize what it is until they start. And I'll be honest, I didn't really either until I started. But be also honest, we had a lot longer academy and where I came from too. And a lot of states do, but we don't have that luxury here.
The department's third goal is to increase the rate of its rehabilitative program completions. MSDPB's Jackson Dirks in Pierre. Grassroots conservatives are asking voters if they want to ban eminent domain for economic development or increase tax revenue purposes. If passed by the legislature, voters could amend the Constitution to do just that during the general election in November. However, as SDPB reports, the resolution gets at something deeper within South Dakota politics. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and property. That's how Amanda Radke, a landowner's rights activist, described House Joint Resolution 5001 to a House committee. She spoke with SDPB after the resolution's hearing in the House State Affairs Committee.
House Joint Resolution 5001 is going to give the people of South Dakota the say on should we allow eminent domain for private gain or not in the state of South Dakota. We're not really trying to change the Constitution. What we're trying to do is fortify what's already in the Constitution of what does property rights mean and what is the appropriate use of eminent domain. And so we heard some concerns today from things like utilities, which never really have to use eminent domain in the first place. Those are part of the fabric of our community and the fabric of South Dakota.
She spoke to concerns raised by some lobbyists representing gas, electricity, water, and other utility companies that provide services but are non-government entities. Such concerns raise questions on if the proposed amendment's language would inhibit their abilities to use eminent domain for the public services they provide. The legislation comes on the heels of a contentious debate over the Summit Carbon Solutions pipeline that swept across much of eastern South Dakota. That was prompted by voters overturning a landowner's bill of rights the legislature passed that required state regulators to prove local restrictions on pipeline locations were reasonable. Lawmakers further put a stamp on the issue after multiple landowners' rights Republicans won in the June 2024 primary election. They passed a law last year that banned eminent domain use for carbon pipelines, what many say is a kill shot to Summit's pipeline. Radke explains her thoughts on the bill.
really a monumental victory and kind of a message that said, hey, we want to do good business in South Dakota, which means there should be a willing buyer and a willing seller, and we should be able to negotiate, and we should be able to say, no, thank you. And so I think that has only continued to grow that sentiment.
The grassroots movement has expanded into other areas across the country. Iowa sent a similar bill to HB 1052 to its Senate last week. The movement prompted Speaker of the SD House John Hansen and Representative Carla Lems to run for governor and lieutenant governor, respectively. However, not all are on board with the way things are shaking out. That includes Representative Tim Reich, who voted against the House resolution to ban eminent domain for economic development use.
I really do believe that we're going to have a reputation if we keep on putting up fences for new industry. Of not being open for business. And industry, which is often privately funded, right? The shareholders, they're going to be reluctant to come to South Dakota if we put this in our Constitution. And the Constitution, to change it, if we figure out, well, we screwed that up, now we have to wait for the next election to try to fix it. And so I'm very concerned that this is a step in the wrong direction.
Reich says you can't have your cake and eat it too when having these statewide conversations.
You know, it seems to be the same people that are in a rush to do the, protect the property owners are the ones that are complaining the loudest about property taxes. It's the same group. It is. And so they're kind of talking out of both sides of their mouth. We're not going to lower property taxes by building fences around our state that keeps new industry out. I love cows and pasture and all that. I've got a farm, but we've got to move forward. We're not farming the same way we were back then.
One way some Republicans want to lower property taxes is through a new potential economic development, data centers. However, that battle looms in the future. Reich puts it plainly.
South Dakota needs to be more welcome to business, and I'm really concerned of the direction we're going.
This comes after a failed tax increment financing vote in Rapid City for an amusement park called Liberty Land. Majority Leader Representative Scott Odenbach explained his thinking at a legislative press conference last week. He says he's taking a 1,000-foot view of the economic development debate.
I mean, I think that vote on the Liberty Land TIF on the 20th in Rapid City is pretty instructive. You had the proponent people spend like $650,000, and the opponents of it spent about $15,000, and that TIF went down 70-30. And so I really think that's something folks ought to pay attention to as far as the public and what are they saying as they wake up to this issue.
The economic development debate will continue to rage on in the legislature, especially with bills surrounding data centers and an economic development tool called the Future Fund. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks in Pierre. A debate about the use of nasal sprays for anaphylactic allergic reactions in schools drew stiff debate on the Senate floor despite sailing through committee. Hear the debate in their own words.
Senator Shanefish.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the Senate. Current state law provides for schools to administer an epinephrine auto-injector, mainly used for allergic reaction. SB 8 will allow an additional, less invasive option to use a nasal spray, which is fairly new and why we have this bill. The bill simply adds the term nasal spray to the epinephrine sections of law. Using nasal spray allows a less invasive option, likely to be preferred when possible by those receiving and those who would have the responsibility to administer the nasal spray. SB 8 was introduced by the Department of Education and presented by our Secretary of Education, and South Dakota's Secretary of Health also testified in favor, so we were honored to have two of South Dakota's department secretaries in committee. And the Emergency Medical Services Association was also in favor. We had a room full of people in our first education meeting to support SB 8 from both the education and the healthcare world. I would ask for your support on this pro-education, pro-health, and life-saving bill. Thank you.
Senator Carley.
I'd like to move SB 8 be recommitted to the Senate Committee on Health and Human Services.
That has been moved and seconded. Further discussion on that motion. Senator Carley.
This is a new tech. I have background in EMT and biomedical, and I love the new tech. I love the ability to save a life with epinephrine. It's a new technology instead of a needle. However, because it's a technology of epinephrine, you can actually kill someone with the improper administration of it. So I think it would be fantastic for it to be heard in the Health Committee, and that way we could hear potentially a registered and practicing EMS, doctor or a practicing nurse on that. Thank you.
Senator Shamefish.
Thank you, Mr. President. As I clearly said in my testimony, there were plenty of healthcare people there testifying on behalf of this bill. The Senate Education Committee is perfectly capable of having a hearing on any bill assigned to it, like I'm sure all of our committees are. We had the hearing. It's on the floor. I would ask you to oppose the motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks on the motion? Senator Howard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess I have a question.
State your question.
Thank you. Did you guys hear from any medical providers, EMTs, doctor, physicians?
Senator Shamefish, would you wish to respond to that question?
Well, for the, I think now the third time, there were several people testifying on behalf of several healthcare organizations, including the Secretary of Health, who testified in favor. They represent their members who are healthcare professionals.
Thank you. Further remarks on the motion, Senator Howard.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I didn't quite hear an answer to my question as to whether there were physicians, EMTs, et cetera. I think the Secretary of DOH is a nurse, if I remember correctly. But so I think it's a valid concern, and I don't think it would hurt to go through the committee that would more properly vet this from a medical perspective. I mean, just a quick research into this. You know, when the FDA was doing clinical trials, they did not do any of the trials on people who were actually in anaphylactic shock. It's a new product. We should have some concerns.
Senator Smith.
This bill had a very fair hearing. And when we asked questions about were there medical people in the room, the person representing all of the medical folks in the state, so a doctor wasn't there, but the person representing all doctors was there. The person representing all EMTs in their organization was there in the room. They were very aware that this bill was up, and they also understood it very clearly and made it very clear to us what this bill was doing. So the bill was heard, it came out, was placed on consent. Let's stop this and let's move on.
All right, seeing none, this is a voice vote. Again, the motion is to re-refer Senate Bill 8 to the Senate Committee on Health and Human Services. This is a voice vote. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Nay.
Motion fails. Roll call has been requested. Is he supported? Doesn't look like it. All right, we'll move on. The question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 8. This is a roll call vote. When your name is called, those in favor vote aye, those opposed nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Mr. President, we have 31 yeas, one nay, three excused.
So Senate Bill 8, having received a majority vote of the members elect, the president declared the bill passed.
The bill now moves to the House for consideration.
Legislative coverage on SDPB is supported by the South Dakota Bar Foundation, SDN Communications, Missouri River Energy Services, and your membership in the Friends of SDPB. Thank you.
U.S. Senator Mike Rounds is formally announcing his bid for re-election. Rounds was first elected to the Senate in 2014 and was re-elected in 2020. Prior to that, he served as governor and a state legislator. In an interview on SDPB's In the Moment with Lori Walsh, he said one of his key visions for the future of South Dakota is finding ways to keep more young people in the state.
And that means we've got to be doing things to grow the economy here within the state, provide that good educational opportunity, which means the institutions have got to be strong. And at the same time, you know, we've got opportunities for South Dakota to grow and prosper with regards to energy, with regards to artificial intelligence.
Rounds faces a challenger in the Republican primary in Justin McNeil, a Rapid City businessman. Sioux Falls Democrat Julian Boudouin has also announced plans to run for Senate, as has Hot Springs Independent Brian Bangs. And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News, and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.